Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Marty Griffin. I can't believe you woke up that judge.
Why? You know me. I wake up friends at 4:30.
So what time did you actually call the judge?
6.
And he answered, obviously.
He was sound asleep.
Not happy.
He was not happy. Wondered how I got his cell phone number. I don't know.
So what's the bottom line there?
He won't comment on cases. He wouldn't comment on the... I'm hearing he's been threatened. But I found out that he's going to be ordered, retrained, after this latest incident.
Oh.
Yeah. We have details on this. We're going to get into this. And we have the sheriff calling in, Kevin Krause, who says this guy's a threat to public safety.
Right after the news at 7:30, an update on that story with the judge. And
it's not often you hear that a judge is a threat to public safety.
No, I can't say that I've heard that very often.
No.
However, you sent me a report on the power of spirituality when it comes to mental health.
Look, I'm not a preacher, and I certainly don't go to church religiously. Get it? My wife does. But when I go, it's funny, Larry. It's not funny. It's an hour where you can find peace. And I think that was the gist of this for me. You know what I'm saying? Pastor Hogan, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing well. And anticipating another thunderstorm, hoping that the creek doesn't come across the banks again, you know?
For you, everything has a religious under or overtone because that's what you do as a pastor. People unload all their troubles and horrors on you every day. How do you maintain a strong mental health?
Well, I've got a great wife and 4 great kids and a great group of people God surrounded me with.
And me. You have me.
And I got Marty, too, yeah. And I think if you wake up each day grateful for what you've got and you express that gratitude to God, it's really hard to get rolled throughout the day, you know?
And you bring up such an important point, and I tell this, and I've shared this over the years with my kids too. You know, start your day by counting your blessings, and instead of what you perceive to be wrong, because there's going to be both. But gratitude is very powerful in and of itself, right, Pastor?
It certainly is. And there's enough going on in the world to drive you nuts if you can't muster that.
So, my man, let's get into this study, which pretty much says going to church helps your mental health, right?
Right.
And they surveyed 200,000 people.
Right, yeah.
And they say people flourish with religion, right?
Right, that was their takeaway.
What do you take from this study? You knew this, didn't you?
I did. I think the thing is that Byron Johnson, the professor that did the study down at Baylor, what he's really not commenting on too much other than the data is that the opposite worldview is just steeped in nihilism. It's this concept that nothing matters, that we are all just, you know, lucky monkeys who are going to die and waste away and that's it. And if you're born into a world where you're told that your species is destroying the planet, you don't matter, that you're a victim at every turn, that the deck is stacked against you, and in the end none of this matters, how do you develop a good outlook? I don't understand that.
And Byron Johnson, to your point, professor of social sciences at Baylor, wrote there is mounting evidence, empirical evidence, suggesting that people who are active in their faith tend to be recipients of a number of important physical and mental health benefits. In some ways, I guess that isn't a surprise.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I also believe that, you know, God is omnipotent and can do much. So if you have a prayer life, and you're seeking help with things in your life, the help is possibly available to you if it's within God's will to give it to you. And so that has to increase, you know, the outcomes for you somewhere along the road.
Could it also explain so much unhappiness and so much uncertainty now because so many people don't have faith right now?
Oh yeah, there's a horrible story right now about a woman in Europe in her late 20s who is scheduled to be euthanized next month because she's bored with life.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you know, what kind of society have we become where you can just, you know, call the doctors and say, you know, I don't really dig life, so just, you know, put me on the calendar so you can kill me. That outlook, that's the very, like, the penultimate description of nihilism, where it's just none of this matters, so I might as well just go.
What do you say to people who are on the brink and share that with you and say, Pastor, I'm having this high level of anxiety and I'm questioning those things? What do you say?
So one of the blessings for me, and I'm glad it's not my kid's testimony, but it is mine, is that I was there. I was a junkie 30 years ago, and I the whole world just seemed like an impossible to climb mountain because of the hole I had dug for myself. And so I looked at the world through those glasses, thinking that this is all worthless and I'm just going to die in my addiction. And I can testify to people that God rescued me from that, and that my life is entirely different, that he flipped the script completely. And I have joy, and I have a family, and I have a job that has meaning, and it's possible for them as well. So when people hear that somebody has climbed out of that hole, that can give some of them hope. You know, not all. Some people are really sort of addicted to their misery. They define nice. Themselves by being unhappy, and those folks, you have to build in a little bit of boundaries with those folks, because you want to encourage them, but you don't want to carry them to the point where they drag you down.
Pastor James Hogan, thank you as always, Pastor.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, you guys are rock stars. Have a great day.
Keep the faith.
You got it. God bless. Bye-bye.
Not only can you listen to KDK, obviously, but you can watch. Go to kdkradio.com. Check out the Ireland Contracting video feed and just click on Watch KDK Radio Live Stream. Coming up, we're going to talk to Allegheny County Sheriff Kevin Krause.
So,
unusual story.
Yeah, this magistrate, Orenstein, I did call him. I wasn't rude. And by the way, I called him about 6:20. Most people are up by then, especially judges. They have to get to work. So I wasn't trying to annoy him or harass him. I was very kind and said, are you okay? And he didn't want to talk about anything, just so everybody knows this. Now, in case you're just checking in, we've been talking about him since last September, Larry, right? They snagged this guy at the Greyhound bus station. He had $2 million worth of drugs on him. Orenstein didn't set a bail. The guy walked. Okay? I know a bunch of drug cops. He will not sign a lot of warrants, Orenstein. He just doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in cash bond. No one should have bail. No one should have a bond. You just go home. Okay? And then he let a guy walk recently, Larry, in January, who beat the hell out of someone downtown. Let him walk. No bond. He beat the hell out of a 71-year-old man downtown. In this most recent case that Raz has been discussing, this guy had a gun. He was already out on bond. In other words, this judge has no interest at all in anyone having any bond or being held for trial. And there is a narrative in the law enforcement community that he's going to kill someone, but that he isn't personally going to do it, but he's going to let someone out that's going to kill someone. Okay, so check this out. I have confirmed that he's going to be punished. And how are they going to punish Orenstein? Because he's a judge, he can do what he wants, right? No, I have confirmed, let me get to my notes here, that he was summoned to the president judge and court administration yesterday afternoon at noon, Ornstein. I asked him about this, by the way. He refused to comment. And again, I'm not trying to harass him. I'm not trying to be rude, but I had to ask him. I'm being told that he's going to be ordered, retrained for 3 months. I'm being told he's going to be taken off the bench and no more arraignments for 3 months. And we're going to see how that goes, which is pretty severe and pretty...
I've never heard of it.
No, I haven't either. Now, he represents Lawrenceville. And for the people that don't like him or what he does, you elected him. They elected him. And by the way, this is part of the woke progressive movement everybody's talking about, right? And this fear that this is what's happening in America today. This is what's happening in politics too far left. There are some people, this most recent guy, he was already out on bond. He was already violating probation. He was already dangerous. What do you tell the state police? He tried to ram them, could have killed state cops, threw a gun out the window. What does it take? What does it take, Larry, to keep a guy in jail? And I want to read from my notes so that we are specific about what's going to happen to him. Remove him from all arraignments, Ornstein, for some period of time. And then he's going to be retrained by another magistrate, Larry. And I'm told there's going to be a public statement released here soon so that people can calm down about this. And by the way, I would be scared too. Don't you think, Larry?
I think they need to address it.
Right. I think there needs to be some restraint, some sort of boundary, some sort of understanding about what's dangerous. Look, Larry, here's the problem with bonds. And this is the argument. And by the way, it's fair. There are thousands of people in the jail that are poor. If they get arrested on minor charges, they can't afford to pay any bond. So they'll spend 6 months in jail before they ever get out to see a judge or anything. And the knock on it is that they're being punished unfairly. I get that. But in this case, we have a dangerous man, or in the other case, we had a guy beat up someone 71 years old. Or in the other case, we have a guy who had $2 million of drugs. These are dangerous people that need to be kept in jail because they're a threat to society and a flight risk. And I'm hoping that according to my sources, he's actually taken off the bench for 3 months and retrained. At least give him a, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe we give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it isn't understanding of the law. And maybe this will help. Maybe.
I think you have to really set aside the violent criminals from everybody else.
I would think so, brother.
In terms of releasing people.
Right. Kevin Krause, the sheriff, never does this. He reached out and said, man, I got to talk about this guy. I got to talk about what we're doing about this magistrate. This is Kevin Krause, the sheriff, says, look, man, what do you tell these state cops? He's right. He's right. We're going to get to him next.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Marty Griffin, and we welcome Allegheny County Sheriff Kevin Krause. Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
So you got this Craddock guy who leads state police in a high-speed chase. Pittsburgh cops get involved. The guy was already out on a bond. The guy had previous gun charges. The guy is a bad person. Firearms charges. And he goes in front of this Ornstein judge, and the judge just lets him go. And it's very unusual for you to reach out with concern, but you did over this. Why are you concerned, Sheriff? Why is this? I think this judge, and I mean the judge, is a danger to the public. What do you say about this situation, sir?
I think it's extremely frustrating. Not only is my role as the sheriff, but as a member of the community. I mean, this guy clearly demonstrated on multiple occasions violent behavior, which is a major, in my opinion, a major threat to the community. And he's taken before a judge, a magistrate, district judge, for arraignment, and he's put right back into the community that he caused a major threat to. That's problematic.
I would imagine, because your officers at times risk their lives to capture people
exactly, Larry,
just to get to that point. And I can't imagine the frustration when someone who is a physical danger, a violent danger, is released.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say to the state troopers that risk their lives in that pursuit? What do you say to the community where this individual's blowing stop signs at 80 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone? I mean, clearly, there's a major threat to the safety of that community. And, you know, I don't want to call them out, but I think maybe it needs to be brought to people's attention that he's put back into this community that, you know, that he's creating a threat to. And I think that's a problem.
Well, and there's a pattern, sir. This Cepeda guy who had $2 million worth of drugs, and then it turns out that the same guy had been arrested in New York, that the same guy was wanted for sex assault, and all of this information was available to the judge, and he let him walk. And then a guy punches a man in the face, a 71-year-old man in the face downtown, he lets him walk. There's a pattern here. What's the message in this most recent case that this sends to state police? It says we don't give a damn about you, right? Does it not, sir?
I think the message is there's a whole disconnect in disregarding what decisions and consideration goes into setting bail. You know, there's a number of things, flight risk. Clearly, that was demonstrated during the pursuit.
Yep.
You know, threat to the community, that's clearly demonstrated. Why aren't these considerations made when setting bail?
I can't wrap my arms around it, sir. So I'm hearing from sources that he's going to be removed from all arraignments and ordered retrained. Is that enough? And this could take 3 months. Is that a step in the right direction, sir?
I can't speak to that. You know, that's court administration and other avenues. But again, what do you say to the community when this guy's put right back? I mean, you know, there's remedies through the Judicial Conduct Board for review, but I just think something needs to be done to at least have these considerations dealt with when assigning bail.
By the way, Colin Dunlap stepped in here. The defense attorneys love this judge because he lets all their clients walk. It's almost laughable, but it's frustrating as hell. And for cops, Larry said it right too, Kevin, the cops who work their butts off, who put their lives in danger, see this criminal who's seriously got a $25,000 bond already and a firearms charge walk. You would almost think,
that in itself, he should be taken into custody and he should be taken before a judge in common pleas court. And I know in this case, again, you know, the DA's office has to do a bond modification hearing.
Right.
To try and make this right and to take those considerations seriously. And I, you know, I don't want to speak for Orenstein,
right,
but I'm not sure that he takes those considerations seriously.
Apparently this has not fallen on deaf ears, so we'll follow up, but appreciate your time and input this morning and your passion. Thank you, Sheriff.
Yeah, thanks for being honest, Sheriff. Thanks for caring about the community.
Yep, thank you.
Allegheny County Sheriff Kevin Krause on the Big K Morning Show. Every Wednesday at this time, we bring you another medical professional brought to you by Allegheny Health Network, Health for All, 412 Doctors, always a great resource. And this morning, Bethany Casagranda is the chair of the Allegheny Health Network Imaging Institute. And this is part of an initiative that I think has got the attention of a lot of women in particular, the first spring walk-in mammogram campaign. Good morning, Bethany.
Good morning, Larry. How are you this morning?
Good. I think making this so accessible to so many is so smart. So how's it work?
Right. So we decided to try the spring walk-in mammogram campaign to make sure that throughout all 12 months of the year, women are taking care of themselves. And as you know, there's always a big push in October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And many of the sites are very overwhelmed with volume, and many people use that month, which is a great thing. We love our, you know, Cancer Awareness Month to bring people into the care that they need. But we thought, why not do something, quote unquote, off season and allow for people when things aren't as busy and when the health system isn't as busy on mammograms to come in and have an opportunity just to walk right in. No need to self-schedule. No need to have an appointment. And when we decided to pilot it, we chose one site within the city and one site outside of the city, you know, to make sure that we would get a feel for how well received it was in the community.
Well, it's very important. And by the way, doctor, we've been ordered to be kind to you because my wife loves you, as you know.
We are dear friends, yes.
She's very assertive about getting the breast examinations, but some women don't. How do you get those who don't involved in getting one?
Marty, that's such an important point. If you think about 1 in 8 women are diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime, and you think about your wife, our children, our moms, our aunts, all the women that surround our lives and how pivotal and how special and precious they are. That 1 in 8 is a number that we're not very comfortable with.
Nope.
But what we have seen over the past 2 decades is a drop in mortality of 40% due to the pushing of screening mammogram and then all of the technology as far as medical research goes. So this is something that we're winning if we can get people in the door. And a lot of women aren't getting mammograms for a variety of reasons, social and economic factors,
yep,
notwithstanding, right? So if you think about the cost of healthcare, it's a barrier. But other factors that people don't think about include food insecurity, lack of transportation, all the social determinants of health. If you're waking up and thinking, I can't miss work for a mammogram. I need to be able to pay my bills, put food on the table. And we're trying with Highmark Health and our initiatives with Living Health. And when we talk about AHN and the things we're trying to focus on, you know, we've put healthy food centers in 6 of our hospitals.
Wow.
So that we can start working toward, let us help you, empower you to be healthy in all the ways that start with food. You know, we get into all the technology and all the fancy stuff, but at the end of the day, we can't have people concerned about hunger. And when it comes to the insurance piece, if you are underinsured, to the listeners, if you are uninsured, please do not let that stop you from coming in, because we have programs through Pittsburgh Charities, through Glimmer of Hope, through Adagio Health, that you will receive your mammogram. And if you don't have the money to pay for it, we will provide that coverage.
Yeah, Diana Knapper, Glimmer of Hope, she's a hometown hero for sure, helping so many women in particular. Bethany Casagrande, chair of Allegheny Health Network's Imaging Institute. It's the first spring walk-in mammogram campaign. We highly suggest you go to ahn.org or 412-DOCTORS. Always a great resource. Thank you, Bethany.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Brought to you by Allegheny Health Network.